So I'm a few months into using Barefaced skincare every day, and like so many of you who have tried these products, I am loving them. The first thing I noticed was a change in the texture of my skin and the size of my pores. But my favorite thing about Barefaced is that I noticed my skin glowing in a way it hasn't in years. It just looks healthier. I've gone from a bathroom counter scattered with a hodgepodge of products to a simple skincare regimen that is easy to be consistent with every day. Barefaced was founded by nurse practitioner Jordan Harper, who is passionate about science-backed skincare education, and she shares the best skincare tips over on their Barefaced Instagram. You can even text her team of skincare specialists for a complimentary consult to answer any questions you may have. They will recommend exactly what you need from the comfort of your couch. Their number is on the Barefaced Instagram, and I'll put the number in the show notes as well. They're big fans of the podcast and have offered Got It From My Mama podcast listeners 15% off their first purchase by using code MAMA15. Country music lovers know Riley Green from his chart topper, There Was This Girl, his collab with Thomas Rhett on Half of Me, and the sentimental favorite, I Wish Grandpa's Never Died. Man, that one still gets to me. The college quarterback turned Big Machine label recording artist sells out about every show he plays and writes some of the most relatable songs in country music. His mom, Karen, is the sweetest and shares some great stories about Riley's musical influences, sneaking out of the house on more than one occasion as a teen. And yes, we definitely find out just how Mama feels about Riley's new gig as an underwear model. Enjoy meeting Jacksonville, Alabama's Karen Green in this episode. Karen, you're fresh off of a show from the Ryman last night that Riley played in, which is great because it got you to Nashville to get to do the podcast together. So
that's
excited
right.
to have
yes,
you.
Yes, it's so great to be here with you today.
So you are a mom of three. Riley is the baby of two older sisters, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the kids and growing up.
Well, he was always entertaining, and you know, that was just what he did. So he was either torturing his sisters or something, but he adored them, you know, he adored them, but he was always messing with them and everything.
He probably got a ton of attention. And so he might have fed into enjoying the spotlight a little bit, right?
Yes, but he did. He did do some things that just drove them crazy too.
When did you notice that Riley had musical talent, whether it was picking up an instrument or hearing a singing voice around the house? What was that like?
Well, he could always sing, and he always made up new versions of songs. You know, he still calls writing songs, making up songs. So he's still doing it. But once we were on a trip a few hours and he made up new verses to Oh My Darling Clementine all the way there. That was one of those times when his sisters wanted to strangle him because that was a lot. But so he was always doing that, even when he was really small. He had a great singing voice and making up songs.
I'd love to hear him sing that one today. I can only imagine Riley's version of Oh My Darling, Oh My Darling.
Yeah, when Riley was little, he was always just a little bit more fun than he was trouble, and that was that helped him.
So he got by with a whole lot,
that
right?
helped him get by. It really did. One thing he did was there was a bird nest on the porch outside his window, and it had eggs in it. And we asked him to leave it alone, you know, because he was kind of fascinated with it. And he was pretty small, and he couldn't leave it alone, and the eggs got broken, and so he did get an egg from the refrigerator and replace it in the nest for the bird
who
egg.
Who found it or realized what had happened?
I think his sister did. Yeah. Like, Mom, look what he's done.
So the egg probably looked nothing like the other. Others were just a little small, you know.
Yes.
We learned a little bit about Riley because I think he really enjoys talking about this part of as far as the impact and the influence on his career. But both of his grandfathers played a huge role in his passion and love for music. Tell us about them.
Yes. One of my father-in-law was a big influence with his music. He taught him all the old country stuff and gospel and bluegrass because that was his passion. He wanted to keep that going for other generations to know about it. So he started a music hall.
This was Buford Green, right?
Right. Okay. He started a music hall, and Riley played out there a lot when he was growing up. He learned a lot from the gentlemen and ladies that played there, and it was all the old things.
So this is a music hall that was built on property that they owned, right?
Yes. It was my father-in-law's home where he grew up.
In Alabama. What town?
Jacksonville.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And it was just a little group of pickers to start with, and then it just grew. People would come on Friday night, they'd bring snacks and have a break, and everyone would just socialize. And it, when it started getting bigger, they would just tear out walls and make more room for seating. And they made a big kitchen, and it just kind of grew into that.
And it was called the Golden Saw Music Hall.
Yes.
Yeah, it's still there.
It is. It's right next to the sawmill. It doesn't get used much anymore, but Riley did film the Golden Saw series, some things on YouTube that are really fabulous, where he had some songwriters come down from Nashville and film some things.
Yeah, and if Riley fans have not seen that series, they need to go watch it. It's available on YouTube, and it's called the Golden Saw series. Right?
Yes, so 2 seasons with about 4 episodes each, and it's some great songwriters singing their songs.
Did you get to be a part of the taping and go see them recording all of it, and they interview you, right?
It was during COVID, so we had a small audience, but you know, we didn't advertise it. We just kept it kind of small, but the results are just fabulous to watch.
Yeah. If Riley were to go do a show today at the Golden Saw Music Hall, would that be kind of a chaotic event because of how much he's grown?
If everyone knew about it, it was. But we kept those kind of low key when that was being filmed. But.
Yeah. So even now, though, you'd probably have to do invite only or something, right?
Right.
For something that he would actually do there. Did we forget to see some shows where he was performing?
He did.
I know he wasn't not as big as he is now.
But he did. And, you know, he spent so many hours with Riley just sitting on the porch playing. And in fact, he says in one of his songs about him, he says, he never could himself, but he taught me how to play. Mm. And so that, you know, that's where he's talking about his granddaddy. He couldn't play the guitar, but he, you know, spent that time with Riley and brought in other men who played, and they all spent time together and teaching him the older music and all that. So
yeah,
it's a big influence there.
And then tell us about your father, who was musical as well. And he kind of more, no, your father was not?
No, he wasn't musical, but he was also a big influence on Riley because he fished with him. And at his house, it was always like games. You know, you were playing dominoes, or you were throwing the ball, or you were having diving contests in the pool, or, you know, you were fishing. So his influence was more the outdoor side,
which is a huge part
of competitive side,
passion as well.
Yes. At my father-in-law's home, it was the creative things. He was, it was like a poetry writing contest and painting and drawing and, you know, the singing and all.
Wow.
So that was a whole different side.
Yeah. I bet you feel so blessed that Riley had that opportunity to grow up with both grandfathers for them to have impacted his life.
Well,
the way
you
that
can
they did.
Certainly hear it in his songs, the influence that they had on him. He's got a new one that's, This Ain't My Last Rodeo.
Whole new album is really a very much family impacted, isn't it?
That song is another that's influenced by his grandfather. So there's several, and they really did have a lot of influence on his life.
The famous "I Wish Grandpa's Never Died." Tell me the story of you hearing that song for the first time and what Riley's told you about writing that one.
Well, it was a couple of weeks after my dad passed, and Riley was in Las Vegas when we called and told him. And
not on the road at a show, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, on tour. And he wrote down the title actually on the plane on the way home.
Oh, wow.
And then a few days later, he wrote the song and he sent it to me and the sisters, and he said, "I've written my best song," and he did that one by himself. "Listen with caution," is what he told
us.
Is that
what he said? Yeah. Oh, wow.
He knew it was going to be emotional, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I bet it's neat to see people's reactions to that song and how I think it's one of the things in general to me about Riley's music is the relatability. It's the everyday man situations that he turns into poetry and these incredible songs, but they're so relatable, I feel like, to just, you know, the common average everyday person.
And he'll tell you that's his goal, is to write things that are relatable. You know, he says, "This is about my life, but it just so happens other people's can relate to it in their life as well."
Yeah.
But he said he never gets tired of singing Grandpa's.
Yeah. Which is a good thing, because I think that's going to be his. I always call it, I compare a song like that to Garth's Friends in Low Places. Like, Garth can't do a concert and not do that song.
Absolutely.
I think Riley will always have to do that one.
I think he will, but he likes it and it's good.
What was that like for you? Because this probably would have been a few years now. But yeah, that first time he got the invitation to play the Grand Ole Opry, it's such a special moment for families.
I think it was maybe 2018 or 19, I'm not sure which, but it was very special. My parents and my mother-in-law were all able to be there. And, you know, Raleigh always says, you know, it doesn't matter what he does, you know, the grandparents, they're not that impressed, but when he plays the Opry, they're impressed. They're like, okay, this is it. You made it, you know? Yeah. And it was great that they were all able to be there. It was very special.
Do you remember him telling you that he was going to get to play the Opry?
Yes, yes. And he was a little bit, I think, not nervous or anything, but maybe just a little bit emotional because it's just such a special thing, you know?
Yeah. Or I've heard Connor say too the same thing, because he describes more of, you know, a regular show, like an adrenaline rush, not nerves. He says he doesn't feel nervous before a show, but at the Opry, he said it was a whole different
feeling.
It's
just a different feeling.
That if he was ever going to say that he was nervous for an event or a show, it was definitely the Grand Ole Opry. Mm-hmm. I think just because of how special it is.
I think so.
And I think there's a lot of pressure to soak it all in and to enjoy the moment. And then you want to perform well, but then you're just kind of in awe of the opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so too.
An extra special that your family got to enjoy that. So we know that he enjoyed entertaining and was, you know, had this fun personality as a child, the baby of the family. What was teenage Raleigh like? Was he mischievous at all? Did you stay up, have some sleepless nights?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was a struggle sometimes. Certainly a challenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those characteristics that made him kind of difficult at times might be the same characteristics that help him be where he is now.
Exactly.
You know? So you don't want to crush that too much in children. I don't think, you know, they've got to have some of that if that's who they are. And so he was a little oppositional and, you know, a little sneaking out and things like that. But
did you ever have the moment of like waking up and going in the room and he wasn't there and he was supposed to be?
Oh yes, we did that. And he, you know, the pillows are all under the cover and it looks like he's in there, but I check it and he's not. So, you know, usually every night he would just fill me in there touching his feet to make sure he was in the bed after that. But, yes, he tried all the tricks.
Oh, that's so funny. And then he had not only you, but he had the two sisters that were a little bit mother hen over him, right?
Yes, that's right.
He probably couldn't get by with a whole lot.
Mm-mm. But we made it.
You survived,
And he turned out fine, so it's good.
There you go. So when did this passion for sports start? I mean, he's obviously one of these guys that probably no matter what he picked up, he was good at. But football was his thing, right?
Football he liked best, but he was also good at baseball and basketball. And he played soccer when he was little, but always. And he's still, you know, he works out every day. If he can find someone to throw the football or, you know, shoot basketball with, then he's still interested in that now.
So those days you were probably hauling kids to practice and games, Friday Night Lights, all of those days. Did you love those days with Raleigh?
Oh, yes. I loved all of it. Mm-hmm. My girls were both three-sport athletes as well.
Oh, wow.
So we had a lot of that, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Now I watch the great kids.
There you go. Now you get to get all their sports and practices. So he ends up in as a quarterback at Jacksonville State, right?
He was a walk-on quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So was that his plan to play football after high school?
He liked football, and he didn't go that far with it. But he was there long enough to prove he was tough enough and he could do it. So it was more like for him, I think, than anything.
Kind of proven to himself.
Yeah, and he just started in a different direction with the music about that time.
Is that when music started becoming more serious of like him thinking this might be what I want to pursue? Was it during college?
Well, when he was in college and I guess right out of high school, he started writing songs and playing it. Birthday parties, the Mexican restaurant, you know, then it was fraternity events, you know, it just kind of went from there, just more and more until it was, you know, making extra money and still doing jobs in the daytime. So
for a while, did you think it was just fun for extra money for him to go and do these things as opposed to making a life out of touring and seeking a record deal, like all of those things?
Well, I'm not sure he saw all that coming, really. I could think at some point he probably thought he could make a living writing songs, but I don't know that he actually had a plan to do this, you know, full time and have a record deal and all that. It just kind of happened. over a slow period.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and him taking part in the reality show Redneck Island kind of was also a catapult, wasn't it, a little bit for...
Well, Steve Austin did share his little clip of singing, and a lot of people followed him. So I don't know that they connected that with the music all that much, but...
It helped him gain a following,
yes,
for sure.
And then after right? he was singing, they're like, oh, yeah, you're on that show.
Tell me about that, when he told you that he was going to take part in the show. Had you even ever heard of the show?
Oh, no, we had never heard of the show, but we did watch a little of it. And, I just kind of talked to him about, they can make you look any way they want to, you know, and how it is with reality.
I would think as a mom, you would be worried about what they do, with his reputation and that mm-hmm. type of thing.
But he did it, and then he won, and he wasn't going to do anything too crazy because he knew his grandmothers were going to be watching the show.
Those were the filters, yes, absolutely.
And he even said that, so but it turned out to be fine. It was cute, everything, and he won some money, and that was good.
But I think it's interesting because there are people who have been on reality television shows, whether they were talent-based or just, something fun and adventurous, that's kind of part of their identity. But I feel like even as saying this in the podcast, people are like, oh, yeah, maybe he was on that show, or they didn't know at all. Like, it's so separate from Riley the artist.
It hardly ever comes up,
yeah,
really.
Because he's built his own career as, mm-hmm. a legitimate artist, which is so different than the way other people kind of have gotten there through reality TV.
Yeah, he was more excited about the money that he won. And then after he was there for a while, he was like, well, might as well just stay and win this, gone this long.
Yeah. Tell me kind of the next step. So he does the reality show. He definitely gains a social media presence. At what point did things turn more serious? When would you say that the legitimate Riley as a touring artist got going?
Well, he just played shows. Every week he played three or more shows, and he just built a following that way. And it was larger and larger venues, selling out. And I guess when he was playing a show in Birmingham at Iron City, he sold the venue out two nights in a row. And it was like, hey, this might be going somewhere.
At that point, did he even have management, full band, all of the things? When
he had a sort of a band, but it wasn't always the same ones, back then. But
so it was really him.
He had a
grassroots
band.
Effort of mm-hmm. growing this, booking mm-hmm. his own shows, and it grew so much that he was selling out venues.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And larger and larger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty fun. Was that fun to watch and to be there?
Oh, yeah. It was great. And then, so by the time he did come up here, he had such a following that he was attractive, I think,
to the labels.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had done their research, and they knew and he knew who he was as an artist. He knows his fan base, and he knows what they like. And so there were a lot of advantages, I think.
Yeah. Even today, I think one of the things that's interesting that you told me is Riley doesn't say no to shows. Like,
not
he
really.
Keeps that calendar booked. Mm-hmm.
During the Luke Combs tour, there would be a Saturday night stadium show. He was doing at least a two or three other shows
of his
every
own
week.
Shows of him mm-hmm. headlining.
Yes.
He would just mm-hmm. fill in the holes on the calendar,
yes,
and sell
exactly.
out his own venues.
That's what they did. They tried to make them in the same location as much as they could.
Yeah. And there's a lot of artists that will look at a calendar and be like, oh my goodness, finally a day off. But mm-hmm. he just keeps going.
No. Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's hardly ever a day off.
Yeah. But also, I guess the contrast of that, though, is his personality is actually someone who needs to recharge, and which I think is a common trait with so many artists. Connor's wired the exact same way. Mm-hmm. He can go so long, and he loves the stage and loves performing, but he has to recharge. Like, he had 3 days off this week, which hasn't been happening a lot, and mm-hmm. he was so excited just to be still.
Mm-hmm. He just wants to come home. If it's hunting season, he wants to get in the woods. And that's what, and he kind of has to do that. And then he's ready to go again.
Yeah. Yeah. So alone time, is mm-hmm. that something he kind of
I think
relishes
so.
In?
Yes. Because, he's always dealing with people all the time
yeah.
on the road.
Pulling in so many different directions.
Mm-hmm. If you're not using the Core 4 products for long-term skin health, you're likely very underwhelmed by the results of your skincare routine. Think of building your skincare routine like building a house. You need a solid foundation, otherwise your house will collapse. The same thing applies to your skin. If you're not using the Core 4, your skin lacks the resources to be healthy. So what are the Core 4 products? A vitamin C, SPF, an exfoliant, and a retinoid. These four products protect, repair, and strengthen the skin, and they are the first four products that are really worth investing in because they are the powerhouse of your routine. Barefaced makes it easy to get started with these four essentials with their Bare Necessities Bundle. This bundle can be customized to your skin type when you take the 5-minute skin quiz on barefaced.com. They even break down exactly how to use each product and how to introduce them into your routine. Super simple and effective. Hey, got it from my mama listeners. Get a discount code. Use MAMA15 to get 15% off your first barefaced purchase.
Let's go back to the excitement of There Was This Girl was the first number one song. Is that the one as he was putting out music that you would have produced? Like, did you know, like, I think this is going to be the one for you?
I think that was a very, you know, it's a good radio song. Yeah, it's upbeat and that sort of thing, you know.
Is it fair to say that sometimes the radio songs are not are the mama's favorite songs?
Yeah, probably so.
I agree. I love them. I mean, you love any work of art that your kid does.
Absolutely,
but,
yes.
But then we're secretly going, you should really put this one out. Like, I really think people would love this one.
They don't ask us though,
no.
Do they?
Yeah, we don't get to give our opinion.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And there's so many good ones that you feel like maybe weren't as appreciated, right?
Right. Yeah. But we can still listen to them at home ourselves.
That's right.
But I do feel like he's got great people that working that he works with and has his best interest in mind. He just had that all the way through.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Well, they've obviously figured out some sort of pattern for success for him. So Riley is known, obviously, on if you follow his social media and everything, his family is very important to him, which makes it kind of extra special to get to talk to you. He posts the cutest stuff. I was going through some of my favorites just recently, but your husband on the front row at a concert, and he's just, you know, he just looks like a fan right there, which we are. We're fans, right, as parents. But he's just right there, and I think that the caption was, get that man a beer, and his dad's on the front row. Mm-hmm. And so tell me that story. Somebody actually went and got him one, brought it on stage?
No, Riley brings a beer out with him. But, you know, Bush is one of his sponsors.
Yeah.
And so he brings it out with him, and he hands it to someone in the crowd. So he handed it to his dad. Of course, I only had to stand there 4 hours to keep that spot on the front row.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do it. I'll do it next time, too.
Where do you like to be at a show?
Out front.
In the pit?
Yes, in the pit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not backstage, side stage. It's always out front.
Yeah. And you're probably like me. Part of that reason is I love to watch everybody else's reaction. Mm-hmm. And that's the most, those are the most excited.
Yes,
you know,
I like to be in the crowd.
Yeah, I do too. That's right. We're going to a show together soon. So that's where we're going to be, right?
That's right.
We're going to be down in the pit on the front row. Maybe he'll hand us a beer. And then there's this adorable picture where he'll bring his nephew up. You said that's his little buddy. And he loves to put him in the spotlight, doesn't he?
He does. That's Joe, my grandson. And he and Riley are just, they're tight. They really are. They've always been close. And Joe, he'll go out there and do whatever Riley tells him. It's so cute, though.
Yeah,
he's
have
a great
relationship.
Great little guy.
How many grandkids do you have
we
now?
We have five.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And the youngest is Joe, the one that's particularly close to, although he's very good to his, all of the nieces
all of
and nephews.
Them,
as a matter of fact, he just got the 15-year-old his first Jeep, right?
That's right. Aww. Yes. Well, first of all, Riley likes to buy cars. Sometimes when he's on the road, that's what he's doing in his spare time is looking, you know, he buys, he sells, he usually makes money, but he also just likes cars.
I was going to say, when he's buying, is he also, though, turning them over, and, or does he have a ton down at the barn?
He's got a few.
I mean, the house in Jacksonville. You know, we talk about love languages, and gifts are really his. That's the way he has showered your family and been able to share some of the success that he's had. Tell me some of the fun stories there. I know he gave you at least one car.
He traded that one in for a different one, yes. And he bought his sister a car. He bought his grandmother, she works in the yard all the time, so he got her a little electric golf cart that helps her a lot with her yard work. But he's always been that way. I know with my daughters, you know, I mentioned that they were athletes as well. When they graduated from high school, each of them, he made them a shadow box with their sports, you know, a jersey and awards and everything in the shadow box. And this is when he was young.
Yeah.
He was, you know, already doing some woodwork and things. So
he puts a lot of thought into it.
He does. Very thoughtful. Yeah. Very
thoughtful. That's so kind. Mm-hmm. So sweet. But I think my favorite gift he's ever given you are actually farm animals. Tell us about that.
He did buy me a goat for my birthday one time. Yes.
Okay. Is this a welcomed gift? Or are you like, okay, wait a minute.
I'm not sure, but it was a thoughtful gift. But the goat got away from him, and he had to chase it kind of around several blocks.
Like when he was presenting it to you?
When he got home with it before he gave it to me, and he was pretty worn out after running it down. But yes, so you never know what's going to happen.
What ended up happening with the goat?
Well, he caught it, and we kept it for a long time, and we don't have it anymore.
Okay.
But we have goats, but we just don't have that goat.
Okay, so you had goats. Okay, so
yeah, this wasn't goats on his farm.
Extremely random then. Okay, what was the goat's name?
Oh, I don't think it ever had a name. I'm not sure. It was a miniature goat.
Okay. Oh, I've always thought those were so cute.
It was really cute.
And how far away do you guys live from each other?
Just a couple of miles.
Mm-hmm. So do you still cook a lot? Do you all have, like, are you able to have good family time?
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Oh, yes, we do. When he gets home, he cooks what he cooks. He likes to do that. I guess on the road, he didn't have much control over all those things.
Yeah.
So when he gets home, he likes to grill and all.
What is his workout routine and his eating routine? I mean, I think Connor put it best. I've told you this before, but Connor's like, it's just not fair for one guy to look like Riley Green looks. Like, he's so handsome.
He has, even as a child, he was very conscious about eating healthy.
Really?
He's always been that way. And he still does. You know, he doesn't eat sweets. He doesn't eat bread. You know, he doesn't drink soda.
So. And he's always been that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Initially, do you think it had to do with like wanting to perform well as an athlete?
I don't know. It's just, that's just how he was.
Yeah.
And he still is. So I guess that's part of it.
And working out is... Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. Something he spends a lot of time doing.
He does. He's very dedicated to that.
So I put on the Got It From My Mama Instagram, and I've let people know that I was going to interview you. You've been one of my most requested interviews anyway. Of people like, when are you having Riley Green's mama on? So here it is, people. So I let people send questions, and I got an overwhelming response of one question in particular that people want to know. They want to know your reaction to Riley now as an underwear model.
Well, you know, I thought the video that they did was really cute, and it captured his personality very well. Some of the still shots were maybe a little creepy, I don't know, but I thought they did a nice job with it, you know, and if he's happy with it, I'm happy with it.
So. Did you get a warning on those, or did you see the ads when everybody else did?
No, I did. I saw the one everybody else did, yes, but I knew he was going to do it, and, yeah, you know. It's all fun. You know, it's all in fun.
Yeah. Well, and anytime you have a company that says we want you to represent
right.
our company.
Yes.
I mean, uh-huh. there's some pride in that, right?
Yes,
no matter
for
what,
sure.
what
yes.
it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with that. And I mentioned that to him, you know, you've got a good reputation and mm-hmm. that
you
sort of thing.
It.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I guess when we all think about, you know, what our little boys are going to be when they grow up, you would have never guessed underwear model.
I don't know. Maybe. He originally wanted to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. That was his first, and every time when he was small, he had on a Dallas jersey, Troy Aikman, you know, that was his thing. He was a big Dallas Cowboys fan.
Well, and then he did get to be a quarterback in college. So, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody can say that.
That's right.
So, yeah. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't picked up that guitar. That's mm-hmm. for sure. So we talked about the touring life. And you and your husband, y'all go a lot. Which
we do.
I love mm-hmm. because we do as well. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fun. I mean, I've got FOMO so bad. I hate hearing about shows afterwards. Like the fear of missing out on everything.
It.
So if we can go, we try to, you know. Mm-hmm. So you guys are the same.
We are. Yes. And we're retired. So we try to tie any place that we want to visit and a tour with his tour if we can. Some places we don't, but yeah. a lot we do.
Like an ideal situation, just like for us, like if he plays on a Friday night, then we'll stay the long weekend and try
see
to
what's
see
there.
The area.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
what we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's kind of motivation to see different parts of the country. And then the bonus or the icing on the cake is actually getting to see the boys perform.
Yes,
right?
We went out to Jackson Hole. He played at the Million Dollar Cowboy Bar. And so, you know, we got to see Yellowstone and everything while we were there.
That's
and
so cool.
Just tying the two together. Yeah. It was great.
What's a show that he's played, big or small, that you just remember maybe having an immense amount of pride in seeing him take part?
Well, I guess the ones he seems to enjoy the most, and that's probably some of the smaller shows, like Green Hall in Texas and the Million Dollar Cowboy Bar. Those I like the club shows a lot, and I think that he and his band enjoys playing those. But the stadium shows were amazing. I mean, it was just, you know, amazing to be playing in front of that many people.
Who was he Ohio opening stadium. For when those first started? I know he's done his own stadium shows, but who was he first opening for?
Well, he played for Luke Bryan in some large venues, but Luke Combs was the stadium tour
this year's stadium tour.
And one show with Morgan Wallen he did at Ohio Stadium.
Did you get to go to that?
I did.
Yeah, I bet that was
it
fun.
Was really amazing.
Crazy audience.
That was like 70,000 people or something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, who was the first slot that he got? Like, for example, Connor got to open for Thomas Rhett this past summer, and that was his first big invitation to go out with a bigger artist to open for them, and that was so thrilling for our family. What do you remember about that stage with Riley?
Well, first it was Brad Paisley, and that was large, like amphitheaters. And then Dierks Bentley, those were rock arenas and amphitheaters. And then Luke Bryan was bigger crowds, and Jason Aldean for a little while. And before COVID, cut that short.
Yeah.
And then the Luke Combs, where that was the stadium shows. So
let's talk about some of the accolades and what that was like for you to see him honored. I know it was during COVID, so it wasn't quite the same as it would have been if you'd gotten to sit there and see it. But he was named New Artist of the Year for both the ACMs and the CMAs, right?
I can't remember, but one at least.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was during COVID, so it wasn't exactly like it would have been otherwise. But
the honor was the same?
It's still the same, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And just to see him recognized, because you see the hard work, the behind the scenes, what it's taken. You know, you saw him play frat parties and college bar, all the things, until, you know, now, just a few weeks ago, you were seeing him in a stadium with 70,000 people. Mm-hmm. So to see him honored or recognized for that must mean a lot.
Oh, yes. Great. So exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was always up to something. You know, it was just entertainment mostly for everyone.
In the high school days, a little sneaking out of the house kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we live in a little college town, and there's, you know, a little more to get into with that.
For sure.
With that setup. But
I saw a video not too long ago, and I don't know if it was from this year or last year, but you never get any warning when he's about to bring you out on stage.
Never.
So you have to be on your toes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I saw the cutest video of you and your husband dancing on stage. Was that your anniversary he brought y'all out?
It was. And the only reason we were backstage is because there'd been a tremendous thunderstorm right before the storm, the show. In fact, it was delayed about an hour and a half before the show actually started, and it was wet and it was muddy, and so we didn't go out into the pit like we usually do.
Right.
So we were at side stage, and that was we got called out, brought out to dance.
What did he sing?
It was When She Comes Home Tonight, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was sweet.
And then he did it again just recently for your birthday, right?
Yes, we were in Philadelphia, and I never know what's going on. He took me out on stage. He always puts on a cowboy hat when he does Should Have Been a Cowboy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they are dragging me out there, and he says, I need your hat. So he wears my hat during the song. But
so cute. He loves his family.
You never know what's going to happen.
keeps you on your toes. Tell me about the new album. I know you're excited for it.
Yes,
this is going to be his sophomore album, which is crazy because I feel like he's been doing this for so long. And this is really just the second album.
He's had a lot of EPs, though.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in between. Mm-hmm. He keeps everybody, the fans, fed, as we say, right, with new music coming out. But this will be the next full-length album.
Right, and I've heard some of it, not very much. I usually hear the songs when everybody else does, when I go pay my $1.29 and buy them on iTunes, just like everyone else.
Yeah.
But I did hear a few of them, and then he's going to put out a couple more of them before the album, and they're all so good. I love all of it.
What's your favorite duet that he's done? Like a collab with someone?
I like the one he did with Thomas Rhett. It's a cute song.
Yeah.
They're all good.
And then he's got the new version of Different Round Here.
Right? With Luke Combs. I really like that because that's a great song anyway.
What's the next thing coming up for Riley that you're excited about?
Well, he's going to have his own tour starting in February.
I think
it's like February till June or something like that. So I don't have the locations yet.
I'm trying to figure out how I
can get a hold of those so I can start planning my life for next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the traveling, what parts of the country are you going to get to see this year, right? What would you say that Riley got from his mama? You knew I was going to ask you that
one.
It's so funny. It's always the guest's most dreaded question, but I love it the best. So,
maybe some of that stubbornness and that oppositional attitude that he can have sometimes, which also makes him determined.
Yeah.
And maybe being funny. Yeah. He's funny.
For sure. Yeah. I definitely think so. So some of the humor and then the stubbornness, which, you know, it's probably one of those things like me. Sometimes when you're parenting, you're just like, well, I can't really say much about this because I'm seeing myself in you.
Exactly. But it also means you can kind of toe-to-toe if you have to.
Give them back their own medicine a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So our next plan is we're going to go to a show together. Mm-hmm. Connor and Riley do play together soon up, which I'm so excited about. And then, but we're going to find a show that we can go, and we're going to be in that pit together.
Yes.
So fans of Riley Green, look for us in the pit. It's great to talk to you.
We'll be there. Thank you, Jennifer. I enjoyed it.
Okay, Karen, I'm going to hold you to that show we're going to together. A big thank you to everyone for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love for you to share your favorite episodes on your social media to help Got It From My Mama grow. Hey, we'll meet you back here next week.
I want to share with you a miracle skincare product that works overnight. Just kidding. If anyone says that to you, run. Skincare takes time and consistency. However, let me tell you about Barefaced Toning Pads. They don't work overnight, but you can start seeing results as soon as 2 weeks after using them. Okay, so who needs them? Everyone. They're skin smoothing pads that help prevent breakouts, remove dull, dead skin, and improve the absorption of your skincare products. Basically, they reveal a more even, healthy glow with every swipe. They're Barefaced's best-selling products with over 2,000 five-star reviews and over 200,000 units sold just in 2022. So a fan favorite to say the least. They literally could not keep these toning pads in stock for the first 2 years after they launched. So if you are looking for an easy first product to get started with, this is a must-have in your routine. Don't forget, you can use the code MAMA15 to get 15% off your first Barefaced purchase. That's M-O-M-A